Today I have Will, which will share with me. And Will and I actually met quite a while back in 2014, I think it was, when we were traveling in Asia, and we did a few other travels together. It was really fun. And then we also have built like a long-lasting friendship. And today we were also having a conversation, and it's so great to be catching up with you, Will.
Me too.
You have been also investing a lot in music, in your voice, in how you express, in just the signature you give to the world. And also I wanted to explore that a little bit with you, and make room a little bit for you to let me know about your background, and how was it for you when you were growing up? What was difficult? Where were you excelling maybe? So I pass you the mic to this.
Ariane, you're amazing, and I always love talking to you, and it's been really good. Like you were saying, music is my life, and right now I'm in a school in Los Angeles, and it's like kind of like a grad school, and it's a songwriting program. It's actually called LAMP. That's the acronym, Los Angeles Academy for Artists and Music Producers. Kind of long, but it's super cool. It's I was telling you earlier, it's kind of like a year-long writing camp. And every week they pair us in different groups, really challenging, amazing, talented people, and say, okay, send us a song that y'all made this week. Okay, again, new group, new song, new week. And so I've always done music. For people that don't know, like, I'm a music teacher. I've been in bands since high school. I took a little guitar on the trip, even with Ariane, and like kind of was singing even when people didn't want me to. Usually they did though, especially in hostels. But you know, in Austin, I was feeling, it's my hometown as well, and I just needed something to kind of up the ante, you know, push me further. And I started realizing that the education side was the key. And it's kind of tricky to find education in songwriting. That's a really weird and kind of this big snake oil industry. Like a lot of people who are trying to be songwriters and musicians might agree, there's a lot of stuff out there. Pay us this and we'll make you amazing. Or pay us this amount of money and we'll make you have a hit song. And really it's all subjective. There's no way. You just have to kind of do. And so that's what I'm all about right now, is like just doing, less talking, less posting on social media, even though I want to get back to that. And just doing, you know? And so I've been digging it a lot and meeting great people, and just being out in Los Angeles is very, there's a lot of energy out here, a lot of creative professional energy. And so it's just been amazing. I don't know. I could go on and on, but this idea of, if you are into something, make that your life. Okay. And then go wherever you can to make that something the best it could possibly be inside of you. And a lot of times that takes other people, because I think art and really anything, even us having a talk right now, it's collaborative, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is a skill, to be able to collaborate with people that you don't really think about strengthening. I never did. Like, oh, build this collaborative muscle. Like, what? Like, build your people. And I'm a people person. I always have been. And I still didn't have the muscle, the real collaborative muscle. You know, if you have an idea and you believe in it, sticking to that, but also being courteous of everybody. Or if the other person's idea sucks, having the ability to say that in a nice way. Like, Ariane, if you have a bad idea, I'm not going to say it sucks, right? I'm going to say like, I like that idea, but what about this idea? You know, that's kind of this, it sounds obvious, but I'm telling you, in the moment, it is not. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think you managed to also spare triggers to other, right? You don't want to trigger them. You want to be, you want to make them feel warm and so on. So I think there is like definitely a style to any feedback. And I think some people do provide a very improper type of feedback by being, sometimes feedback is used as a way to be mean, and I don't agree with that. Even if it's true, it should never be used to harm or, you know, So I also think that some feedback I would not take, you know, I or maybe I take the truth, but I also kind of take distance with the person, because that way of feedbacking is really not for me, right? So I think you've got a great talent at being able to put yourself in the shoes of other, right? And probably feeling the feelings of other people. So that's why also you wouldn't want to hurt them.
You nailed it too. I love that you said this idea of how to take the feedback is another skill I didn't mention. Like, that's a whole nother thing. Like, how do you actually get the feedback and not be mortally wounded by it to a degree? Like, if you get feedback that your thing isn't as good as you think it is, it's pretty easy to have this feeling of, well, I'm going to quit. You know, I think that's the first vibe you get inside. Your little evil voice is like, you should quit, you suck, you know, like this person didn't love it, you know. And the truth is, feedback is also kind of, I don't know what the word is, I guess subjective, and you have to learn and have a skill of how to sift through that and pick, like you said, pick the good, also listen to the bad if it's true, but then disregard the parts that maybe aren't, or just have the strength to not let it destroy you. I think, like, especially as an artist, if I send you a song and you're like, eh, my tendency is to scrap that shit and like never ever write songs again, but then a couple hours later I'm like, okay. And you have to use that as fuel to like get even better, and realize none of the feedback is meant to do that, unless, like you're saying, some people are trying to be passive aggressive. But usually in this new circle that we kind of talked about, like, I almost want to call it like the professional side of it. Like, we're no longer amateurs. We're getting a little bit more professional. That feedback tends to not be as laced with like malicious people, you know, in my opinion. Those, like, when you're actually paying to have feedback, or, you know, you've ascended to a high level and you're getting feedback, that feedback, in my opinion, is usually more, more legitimate, or more, you know, they're really trying to help you usually, but it still doesn't become any less offensive. Like, again, can't emphasize this enough. You put a baby out in the world and someone tells you it's ugly, that shit hurts. Like, it just does. I don't know.
It's true. And then you have also to see who is saying what and for what hidden reason, I think, you know. I think some people are closer to your signature, so they're going to understand better, you know, your whole universe. And, you know, they might also perceive, you know, the frequency you put, like, that's why also I wanted to organize this talk with you today. It's because I've been sensitive to the fact that you always have like a frequency, you bring something into the music world, your music world, right? You also bring something with your voice. You've been working also with your voice. You have a special signature with your voice, and you transport like things. And I think I think the way you do is pretty rare. And I told you, I wrote to you my appreciation for that. And I was going through your Instagram also, and just really being moved by all that I was feeling and able to feel through your work, right? Because I think you have to be a little bit multidimensional to kind of understand how deep it goes, and how deep you have to go to you. It feels like you go there in the visceral and you kind of bring it. And I know how hard it is to put that kind of work.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And same to you. And like I said, like, the main thing that we always connected on is like this idea that certain people really care about finding that inner thing that they want to shine out, you know, like what, and like, that is a whole nother thing. But like, I really always respected that about us and you, and I'm sure most of your listeners and viewers kind of relate to this idea that that's tough. It's tough not to just take what I call like the prescribed career, you know, whatever career maybe your family did, or maybe you have a friend that's really doing well in insurance or something, and they just say, hey, you know, I got this position, you should do it, you know, it's easy, you'll never have to think about money again. So difficult to walk away from that stuff. And I actually didn't. I actually tried it. I like, for those of you listening, like, I did real estate for years and made money and was had a fancy place and had a car and all that stuff. And it just, I don't think all of us feel this way, but for me, it was not enough. And I needed to do something quick before I did have kids or marriage or any of that to cut. Because in my opinion, like we mentioned earlier, I want those things badly, but I want to inspire my spouse or kids or anyone around me really to do what they love because they're watching me do what I love for their career. Like, I do genuinely think there's this difference that needs to be voiced real quick. Do what you love. And for me, for your career, I hate to say that, but like, it's not enough to just do it once a week or go on a ski trip once a year. No, if you love skiing, move to Aspen, move to the Alps and like do that life, you know, and then walk through that door at least. And then it'll show you the next door. And maybe you're not, maybe you do become a sales rep and all you do is sell skis. But again, you found that through your channel of passion, like you went towards what you were passionate about. And in my opinion, any industry in this world, there's a lot of money. I don't care what it is, you know, water, there's tons of money in water. If you're passionate about water, which I love water, this is kind of a sleazy or not sleazy, fancy brand. You like this?
Is that the Norwegian brand?
Maybe it's called Voss.
I think it is. Norwegian. Yeah. It's a Norwegian water. Yeah. I discovered
product of Norway.
Yeah. I also cheers, guys. Tried the Icelandic, but I discovered it like 2 months ago. Yeah.
I like it. It's overpriced. No offense, Norway, but I do like it. And it's got this glass. Yes. So you can wash that if you want. I just filled up for like a week and then, you know, move on. But so anyway, my point is anything you want, water is a huge industry. And I do love water, to be honest. But you have to find something that you really, you know, like what would you suffer for every day and still want to do, you know? And like, that's what life is. I mean, life is innately it's suffering, but that's a relative word. That's like a, you know, it's a Buddhist thing. I think like life is suffering, but like it kind of is. You just have to, the key is not to eliminate suffering. That's impossible because life is suffering. So you have to find the thing you want to suffer for, like a person that you're dating that you know, they're not perfect, but you know, you want to be with them because they do it for you. And that's kind of where I'm at in life right now, is just continuing to follow that because I'm still not top of the charts, super killing it, you know, some Charlie Puth type guy, but I do like where I'm heading. And I think we said something earlier. I wrote it down too, so I'm going to say it again. It's like, yeah, I'm not where I want to be, but I like where I'm going. And I like, you know, I like who I am as a result, kind of, you know?
Yeah, we were saying that I think it's not never going to happen that we kind of sit and say, I'm really, really pleased with where I am in my life, because as soon as we are there, when we were maybe projecting, you know, 1 year ago, we are already the new us, and the new us is already thinking about like 1 million new things on how it could be. So it's you're transforming inside and it takes you. And so I think it helps sometimes to look at the past, like, okay, I look where I was like 5 years ago. I look what my network was, what my entourage was, what the quality of my relationships, you know, and and that's how also you see that you've been doing good work, right?
Yes. And I think another thing is it helps to have, like for me, the only thing that I have is the songs, and like as they get better, that's my measurement. And so it is important to measure, I think. And so, but it's hard. Like, how do you measure the progress of your life? I think looking back 5 years is incredibly powerful. And, you know, for me, a lot of it is tied to how good are my songs. Cause like when I listened to my songs 5 years ago, it's still music. There's no like problem there. You know, my old album from forever, the travel songs, is fine, but it's got to get better. And for me inside, I feel like I'm still not there to where I have Like, I want to make a song or music that just makes you cry in a good way, not, you know, depressing, just from its goodness. I don't know how else to put it. And that's subjective too. But the point of like checking in and measuring is very important, and having people like you that you can connect with and say, okay, yeah, I see where you're going. I like when we were first talking about all this, you were going to launch this channel. No subscribers, no channel, right? No website, nothing. Mm-hmm. And in less than 5 years, you've got all the above, you know, and it's really cool. That is progress. And that is irrefutable progress. It's like, yeah, no, I have a website, I have content, I got subscribers, I have joy and pride and excitement for what I do. I'm happy, you know, my tribe, so to speak, is like-minded people. That's a big one, you know, getting rid of toxic people or toxic relationships or toxic environments. And they might not even seem toxic. Like a big one for me was just coming to Los Angeles, being from Austin. Austin had it all. It's very easy and cool and kind of this golden cage. So to come here isn't all smiles and rainbows. Yeah, there's a lot of sun. It's sunny right now, but it's a tough city, and it's not you know, it'd be a lot easier for me to stay in Austin is the point, but that's not always the key. So that can be toxic too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always felt like you have this big drive inside of you that makes you, you know, you make surprising choices, you know, you're unpredictable in where you're going with your life.
Ooh, and I'll take it.
That shows the signature of an original, right? So with these signatures, you're always going to be surprised, and we're always going to meet and in conversation create like unique moment, because it's going to be like also with meeting in the space, like we do psychically, we both tune to each other, and then we're going to create this unique moment, and they only going to be one of that moment, right? And if we meet again yes. 1 week, it's going to be different. So
I love that. And energies are so important. And like, you've always had an incredible connection to that. Like you always have felt energy more than us, more than most people. And like, I'm learning more and more about energy. And I'd love to ask you, what do you think about your energy, my energy, energy signatures? Like, that is interesting to me. I know your channel talks a lot about that stuff, but I would love that, just a quick moment of that, like, because I'm always like, I kind of know here and there, but not really, you know. I just know that we are all energy and nothing else. I know that. And I've learned that to be successful in what I do and in life, a big key is have more energy than anyone, and be bursting for, and again, the key to that for me is be healthy, one, but two is be obsessed with what you do and love it, because that's where the real well of energy comes from, not coffee, even though I'm drinking coffee, or you know, the high of going on a travel, because that is amazing, but none of that is the real energy well that is the same as, no, this is what I actually love to talk about and believe in. So I'll shut up for a second, but what do you think about that?
Yeah. There is a lot in what you said. Like, I agree with you that when we travel, it's, you know, you kind of are like seduced by the landscape, you know, it's interactive. It's all the time new also, you know, but at some point when you travel for a long time, you kind of get a boredom into that dopamine creation,
burnout.
And I feel also when you talk that your way of putting energy is also a way to defeat also what I call the dark forces, or, you know, the repression that are causing the suffering that you were talking about in our life because of complication, etc. And every year I discover more about our energy signature mind, and then I also become more able to tune to the energies of others, you know, all around me. Even in animals, for example, it becomes more clear also that some beings are way more predictable, robotic, and it's going to show in their signature, right? or some aura agrayers, right? There is like an overlay or and I noticed also that the originals, they have like this, oftentimes they will have a special signature in their voice again also. And I find that in your voice, you know, you have like that warm. And when you sing also, you know, it kind of transports you. It's like its own little portal.
Ooh,
not
like
everybody
that.
Has that, right?
That's so. I'm writing that down, actually, right now.
So I would say, you know, and then it's for me, the signature is also when I meet you in the space to talk, how does it feel, you know? Does it feel like both of us have room for who we are, or does it feel like interruption or disruption? And it's going to tell me about the association you have and with which forces, you know, you collaborate in your own life. So that's
interesting.
Like what comes with
you can tell all that just from the sound of my voice.
Well, by becoming more able to sense, I do it mainly through my body. So it's like clairsentient. So it's like this ability and a little bit clairknowing. You know, other people have like more the audition or the vision. I have a little bit, but it's not my main channel. And so it's nobody teach you that at school, right? So you have to learn for yourself. And at first I wouldn't know. I wouldn't even know what's the difference between me and you when we were talking. Maybe when we met at the time, I would feel what the other experienced, but I wouldn't know it's the other person experienced it. I would think it's my own. So sometimes it was very confusing. And I think a lot of us sensitive people, it's been like this. And then you have to work to say, oh, okay, that's not mine. Okay, and then you kind of have to put back the boundaries in your life. So you kind of make a border between you and the world, because if not, it's kind of really difficult to experiment and overwhelming as well.
It is. And
confusing, because you don't know, it's hard then to identify your own need to be even aware of them.
We are a forward moving life force. I think it's really cool when people like yourself have the gift of being able to pick up on energies and almost see the auras of people, whether or not you see it with your eyes or you see it with your body. There's that spectrum. And that's, you know, I believe in the universe and the energies and the where you focus your energy goes. And like, if you manifest something and you think about it relentlessly, it will happen. Or if I'm thinking about Ariane, she calls me, you know, or I call you, you know, same deal. If you're thinking about me, I message you, or so. It's like that weird thing that connects us all. And it is all energy. That's why I think energy signatures, because I'm a storyteller as a songwriter, and I'm trying to get better at storytelling. Because in a way, that is all any of this stuff is. A movie, even a conversation, they're all kind of stories, or we're talking about stories. Stories are our way for understanding how to talk about life. You know, like if I'm trying to tell you what my life is really like, the best way I'm going to be able to do it is to say, okay, let me just tell you this story about writing this song last week with these people, right? That's going to be easier than me telling you all this stuff, even though I'm going to try telling you an actual specific, so you get it. It's just very, very cool energy, storytelling, and the link between the two. That's, to me, that's the essence of life, you know?
Yeah, and I think something that struck me with you is that when you sing, you really live what you think, right? And I know that's something, you know, that they ask, like, you know, but you do it a way that is, that we don't find, you do it a way that is really genuine, you know?
Oh, thank you. I'm trying to get better at that, because yes, but I can get more genuine, you know, I can get more, and I will, but the key is just getting it first, then you can keep going. But I just really believe in simplicity. I think we also said that earlier before we were recording, but this simplicity is hard. Like the simple stuff is super impactful. We wrote it down too. I'm going to see what it was.
Yeah, it was talking about your last, you know, What's the title of one of your new project? Is it like
do what makes you happy?
Do what, and we were saying that it's like way deeper than and way trickier. Like it's not easy to really go over all the programming to actually do what you really like. And even first, you have to identify what it is, you know. And
absolutely. And I feel like you know, I haven't done this yet, but I want to do like a music video. And I want to have like different people doing what they love in the video, you know, and it's those kind of concepts that seem easy, right? And most of the concepts, like another song I have is just called I Want You, you know, and these concepts seem easy, and they are. But what's cool is if you tell the right story and you tell them in the right way, other people can live inside that. And like they will think about what makes them happy, you know, and they will think, I should do what makes me happy. You know, or I do want you, you know, whoever that person is to them. And that's kind of what I'm more interested in now, rather than having this super deep kind of poetic art that is so amazing. You know, I want to like create a feeling, sing a song that is that feeling, and then have other people be able to relate to that and tap into that and kind of escape their life and consider that theme for their own self. That's like the goal. Like make them feel something is so important now. Like I think we're in a generation that's no longer about like super long epic lyrics. We don't really need super wild symphonic musical elements either. We just kind of want the feeling, and it's got to be quick. And it's got to take you there instantly. And and that's kind of the same kind of thing you get with a conversation like we're having now. You get to the point. That's what music has to do now. That's what art has to do now, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I like what you say. I think you have a gift to, maybe you're a kind of translator of energies, and then you kind of, you know, you go through a journey, you experiment yourself, and then you kind of tell the story with emotion and with the feeling. And I think that's what you do with some of your music. And that's what I picked up like from it sometimes. And through that, you can make people travel, right? Also through their emotions and diving deep. It's you know, or just feeling it. Sometimes we're just so numb that we just need to feel things.
Oh my God, you nailed it. Cause I think that maybe more than anything, that's what I believe. Like we don't feel enough anymore. In fact, I think some of the only times we really feel now, and in this, and again, I'm not talking down on, I love current culture. I love who we are in 2022. I just think I'm noticing differences. Like we don't feel as much. The only things that makes us feel are like severe, wild things like COVID or some incredibly intense movie that's super visceral and super gnarly, or like Midsommar or something wild, you know? And I don't think we feel enough like in our own emotions or in our, like we're not very present, I guess. And so music, the whole goal is just to make us feel something again, right? And I think that's why we use it. It's like to escape, but also to tap in and to feel. Movies can do it too, but they take so much longer. And I think that they're a little more direct. Like a movie will make you feel this exact thing, or you will really live in that character's thing, that one thing. A song, especially hits nowadays, for better or worse, that are kind of like you based, like something about you, or like they're a little more, they're specific, but then they're open enough for people to live in them a little bit easier, and the time is quicker. So I just love that about, and then again, movies are filled with music, right? So a big part of what makes a movie hit hard is like that song. You know, it's showing that puppy run across the field or whatever with silence. It's like, oh, that's cute. But with some dramatic music, you're like, that dog is breaking barriers, you know, or some happy music. You're like, oh, I feel great about Benji or Lassie or whatever, you know? So it's just kind of interesting, that whole deal, and like what makes you feel is always just been so important to me. I think that's why we travel. That's why we fall in love. That's why we watch stuff. I mean, anything, bad, good, you want to feel, you know, we have a lack of that.
Yeah. And I think there is a lack of invitation to make us, to invite us to feel, but without using it as a tool of manipulation, which we find often, right? That's how music is being used a lot. And that's what I like in your work, is that, you know, it's genuine invitation, because you're genuinely concerned by the well-being of others. So you want the best travel for them.
So my point is, in the future, maybe past our lifetime, I hope not, we will no longer be required to work menial jobs that are, you know, because robots, automation, the work of the few will take care of the society in terms of just menial tasks. And we will be thus tasked with doing human things, because those are the only things that will matter anymore. Because we already have, I mean, just like even like taxis, now it's Uber, or the trucking industry is about to be replaced by automatic self-driving vehicles, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And pretty soon, we're all going to be asking ourselves, well, okay, since my life is no longer just about slaving away to get some money to go on some ski trip with some kids who don't even know me, because I'm spending all my time at some job that I don't even know myself anymore, right? That will be all removed. And they'll say, okay, human, what can you bring? What can you do that no robot can do, that no automation can do, that is unique to you? Other people may do it, but like, what is your most unique thing? And we're going to put you in that. And in my opinion, that's where it's all going to go, you know, take us further than we could ever have imagined. And all that stuff is going to be creative based. It's going to be art based. It's going to be feeling based, because those are human things that we can't reproduce for the 100th time with some code or some automatic system that will be the norm. I'm like a broken record on this. I could go on and on.
I do agree that we really have to create things that don't exist, right? And make them happen.
There you go.
And this has to do with your abilities, right? Then you rediscover your talents, your gift, and then you know, you get better at it, you refine it, then you invest in it, and that's how you actually learn how you yourself function, and you learn to get to know yourself better. And with that, you can put your gift more into practice, definitely. And it all of this also has to do with like the psychic gifts, because for creating anything, you put your psychic gift into action, and then you're tuning with your intuition, you know, you're making choices, you know, what feels in alignment or not. And then with what you were saying, I think a lot of people are triggered into survival programming. And if you listen to that form of programming, then you're going to make the wrong choices, because it's fear-based and you're never going to be happy. We have to brave, you know, it takes bravery to not listen to these voices that kind of force you to go to do the 3D thing, maybe, and to, you know, to go in that box and maybe not move a lot. But I feel you always have done that, you know, because you're like, you know, last time we talked, and then you're like, oh, where is Will now, right? It's like, oh, because it's always surprising.
I don't recommend my hectic lifestyle, but yes. And I love what you said about creating something that doesn't exist, you know, and just check yourself, because you're letting this survival thing be your narrative, and it's actually kind of untrue. You know, it's not real. And maybe you shouldn't take on a giant family and a giant mortgage and a giant thing if you're in some role you don't care about, because again, that's not surviving. That's just filling your life with busyness because you're too afraid to kind of take a chance on something you actually do care about. And if you did, maybe you would meet someone, still you would, that loves you for who you really are supposed to be, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but I just think these things are kind of, they should be common knowledge, but they're not. And they're very tricky. Even as I say this, we'll hang up and I'll doubt all this. And I'll be like, what am I doing? You know, but I just believe in these things, especially as a storyteller. I think those are the only things that good stories are made of. You never hear a story about like, I took this job as a life insurance guy and it did nothing for me. So I stayed there for 20 more years. That is not a story people tell. That is the norm. Or creating stuff that doesn't exist, creating in general, is more important for the human race than just accruing wealth for what? You know, you can't take that money with you. You can't, all these vacations, all this stuff, all this gluttony. I mean, it's just to like kind of it gives you a sense of, oh, I need to keep this job because of all this stuff that I have to pay for. Mm-hmm. And then you continue to skip the real dilemma, which is, should I be doing this at all? You know?
And everyone who's gonna choose a non-standard path and journey has to kind of face some, you know, sabotage programming or self-esteem issue. Then, you know, am I gonna succeed? Or, you know, yeah, it's scary. You have to face a lot of things within you, and for sure. And then you have to overcome if you want to try something new. You know, it's unknown territory, so it is scary, but it is not as scary as the mind wants us to believe.
Right. And I think you're right. Like you never stop doubting yourself. Right. And I think that like, we talked about this too on before the recording, that like, you never find a place where you're done. And I think a lot of us are looking for that. Even I was looking for that for a long time. Like, oh, if I could just write this song that I imagine in my head and the world loves it, then I'm done. And I can, you know, my journey will have ended and I will be now in the victory lap. No, it never ends. And like we've both learned, like we're further along today than we were 5 years ago, but it still feels like we've done, you know, it's still this constant question, this borderline imposter syndrome. You know, imposter syndrome? Mm-hmm, yeah. I have that a lot, you know, and mm-hmm. I've learned like a lot of big artists, like, you know, performers that have stage fright or, you know, these incredible people. You never get over this idea of like your own worst enemy is you saying you're not good enough, no one cares, or even worse, like you don't even deserve to be here, right?
Yeah, they're right. Nice,
you have any thoughts on those darker energies that we all experience inside ourselves? Mm-hmm. What do you think about those?
There, it's incredible what we can discover inside our own mind and what's there, and so far from the truth. It's every time I'm reflecting on how much it does create our current reality, right? So we have like all the good stuff that creates good stuff, but also all the negative core belief that also kind of manifest into attracting low frequency situations or problems or lack of success, you know, like some of it is personal responsibility in terms of embodying a frequency, but it's extremely hard to learn to change what's really going on within the self too. But it's also possible. I mean, that's also why the journey is fascinating, and that I think we see it changing over the years, right?
I don't think that ever goes away. Maybe that's a reason why, I hate to say this, but jobs like real estate or the prescribed jobs, they eliminate that. They don't say, what am I doing? Or any, that's gone. Now you have a different set of problems, which is more just like, is this enough? Or like, maybe not even that, kind of just like this idea of you don't even check in at all, right? Which is kind of nice. Versus this other side, when you're doing something you know, every day, you're like, holy shit, is this good? Is this good? Am I on the right track? Am I blowing it here? That is almost all the time. And then there's these moments of victory where you feel incredible. But that's just kind of something I'm thinking of now, is like, that would make a lot of sense as to why these normal jobs are so much more normal, is because you don't have to deal with this horrible feeling all the time of like blowing it just horribly. You know, you might wake up in 10 years and be like, shoot, you know, I regret not being a musician when I was younger, but you may, you know, it may not offset the thought of like, but at least I wasn't pulling my hair out the whole time, you know, like that's kind of how it feels sometimes.
Well, I mean, the negative programming is very there, right? In the background, I try to kind of go back to neutral mode, right? Because, you know, if I lose my calm, or, you know, if I'm losing my tools, or I feel my reality becomes like shaky, like I start to break things, it becomes, you know, clumsy. I will break things. If I'm unstable inside, I will manifest it very quickly in my direct reality. So I really, it happens, you know, but usually even if I feel bad, you know, or if I feel like it's kind of a neutral negative, like it wouldn't overwhelm me. And like,
and some of that's experience and getting better at your craft, I think, is a big help of imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I think practice, you know, you repeat also showing up, because the first time you're scared, you have to show up. You have to decide, am I going to cancel or am I going to show up, right?
Show up.
And if you show up, then the next time the fear is not as intense, I have noticed, you know, the triggering is less deep. So that's how you kind of deactivate things within yourself. And then it becomes way more manageable than that first time where it was like so overwhelming that, you know, it's just so interesting, because I've been reflecting on that, on these moments also a lot, because I noticed that a lot of us have to brave through these moments, you know, and then make a choice. And usually if you show up, you know, you learn a lot, and then next time it's easier.
Showing up is half the battle, right? And it's, even earlier we said, man, it's so cool that we showed up for this call when we said we would. I mean, sounds like no big deal, but I think it's another point to make. It sounds like nothing's all negative right now, but a lot of people don't show up for the things they say they're going to show up for, especially in LA or the world at large right now. And you know, I think we're getting a little sick of fake stuff, whether it be music, whether it be internet, whether it be looks. It's very in to be kind of real. They want to see your dirty clothes, right? They want to see that mustard stain on your shirt. They want to see the good and the bad. They, you know, social media especially is all about like being real, no makeup, no, our ultimate sign of like our value is like given more responsibility or given more a higher level. And we're into that, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so too. When people are, yeah, when you encourage the best side in people, then, you know, you have sometimes marvelous thing. Then I think our realities are really personal, right? It's all about what do you explore and what's your network, and then it's going to be different from another person, right? So I don't know if it's like the whole reality here changing, or our personal reality with what we are connecting with. I feel very much that way, right? It's like a part of the reality kind of disappear because I don't engage with it anymore, right? Because I don't connect with it. It kind of disappear from my reality. I'm not even aware it's there, but I'm sure it is still there, right?
Absolutely.
But I connect with things that maybe, you know, I realized looking at my calendar that, you know, I used to do some things that were a little bit more heavy sometimes, maybe, or, you know, maybe I wasn't looking forward to them, but less and less, right? And it's that's also how we reclaim freedom. Yeah. But probably in 1-2 year, I look at my calendar and I will see also some kind of overlay programming, kind of ruling also this unconscious. So all of this, all of this is happening.
But it's getting better. Like, I think, like you said, like the things that we're doing are more aligned with the light, or the lighter, or the more things that you want to do. I hate to put it like that, but like more things you want to do and less things you don't want to do, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's wild. And I don't think a lot of the things that you want to do tend to often have quite as easy of a price tag connected to them in terms of like, oh, I want to have this conversation with Will today, but I won't make $100, $200, $300 from that. Whereas other activities that you may not want to do at all, you know, I don't want to do that, but it will guarantee me $400, you know? And so you're like, okay. But the more you choose a life that's meager to do what you do want to do, I just genuinely hope and believe somewhere down the line, you will at least survive. And maybe be even super successful. That's the goal or the hope, but it's really secondary to just feeding and contributing to knowledge in the specific way that I want to contribute to the global knowledge, mm-hmm. you know, that's more important.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for you, it would be like, imagine like, you know, like it's the same for me, but, it only takes like a few handfuls of real present original kind of connecting to what you do, and then you have this feedback loop with them, you know. Mm. You engage in a pro, you know, you're interacting, you know, it's rich, it's in the quality more than in the quantity.
Oh yeah.
And at the same time, you know, it's really complex to really find these people who really completely resonate with what you do. It's something that is important for me, right? And it need to be numbers, but it's in the quality of what's happening, and if true healing or truth also, truth can happen, genuine dialogue, you know.
And that's where you get your feedback. Like, I think you nailed it. Like, your tribe, I call it a tribe, has to be really selected well, right? Because again, that's the only, especially with creating things that are new, super hard to measure that. But if your colleagues, for lack of a better word, in your tribe are good, they can provide that feedback, just like you. And it doesn't even have to be your work. It can even be connections like we have that are saying your energy is in the right direction, you know, or I can see, because I've known you for 5 years, I can see this progress and I can sense it. Like, I can sense you are more at peace. You're centered, you're healthy, you're happy, all these things, you know, even in spite of some tragedies, you know. That is powerful. And I see that. And both of us are, I mean, we're not running around with our heads cut off anymore. We're kind of, you know, but it's so important, the tribe. So just to talk with that, like, just to echo your point, the tribe is so crucial. And it's hard. What do you think about that, finding tribe? How could we tell our listeners to find that? It's hard.
Well, yeah, I think it's really unpredictable. Look how we met. Like, I think time only reveal if it's gonna last, because you have to have like the two persons wanting to stay in engagement and to kind of working. It's always work, like relationships. It's always work. But with people you really appreciate, it's kind of pleasant. But I've met, you know, different beings in very different places. Sometimes, you know, like that one person that I will keep the connection with in one group or one experience that I went, and sometimes it's no one, you know. I go somewhere and there's nothing. Like, time will reveal that it was like nothing and distraction, and sometimes there is one, you know, like standing and then, you know, tuning to the signature, you know, recognizing, you know, the original signature, the unicity, and then, you know, investing in that also, you know, you have also to make room in your life for to have space to engage with that. And therefore you have to kind of work to kind of make the a lot of the distraction go a little bit further, so you have time to also focus and show up for your appointments, and you know, have energy also to engage in energy. This. So, well, it's sure that if you make like the non-predictable choices, right, and go outside of all these boxes, and but yeah. even you know, thinking about how we met there is still like a sort of hive mind environment that made it possible that we were both in the same place, right? Because maybe we, you know, like that's also about traveling, right? You have like some places that you will find online, and then yeah. Everybody kind of gather in these places, and that's how, you know, even if we are at the end of the world, like we kind of find ourselves in the same places. So I've been reflecting a lot on that, and I find it fascinating.
But I think that honestly, when I think back, a lot of this all got shifted up from that big travel. Because even on that travel was when I started realizing, because what did people want from me, right? You were with me, like, play us a song, right? Make me happy by playing music or whatever. It was kind of this thing. And so that was kind of the first moment. And I had this silly fedora, this like straw fedora, like a harmonica thing. And like, but I just slowly started realizing like, this is my unique thing. And I think traveling strips you down big time to just you and a backpack. And it's like, that's all you are. No one cares how you got there. No one cares how old you are. No one cares what you do from, you know, they want to know like, who are you right now? And what do you want to do with that? Like, you know, and they don't even care about that. They're just mm-hmm. there. Right. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's the key to it all, as early as you can, go on as long a trip as you can to as far away of a place as you can, and be safe.
I think while listening to you, what it's kind of funny, because it's like while traveling, you put yourself in various different situations where you know, every time the energy is different. So
yeah,
it's challenging for yourself because you know, you have to adapt, you have to read the energy. And I think that's a little bit of what you do also right now with the school of songwriting, right? Because you told me that like every week you change group, right? So you change yep. environment. So it is challenging also. And you put yourself through that challenge, right? You decide. And that's the same for traveling. That's like...
It is like traveling. Yeah. A lot like travel. I didn't realize, like, it is exactly.
It's a traveling for the mind, right? Because
it is. So mind, and you got to be good with people. And it's not just like faking it. It's like you actually have to be interested in people. Luckily, I am, and you are too. But I think what leads people to be interested in people is seeing different people and getting, you know, that's more interesting. I think we can get kind of numb to it when everything is the same and everyone around you is the same as you and all that. You can kind of be like, well, yeah, people are cool, but let's keep going. But then it's all that it is. We are really, nothing else even exists. We are the only thing here experiencing anything that, you know what I mean? Like our experience is the only thing that makes any of this real. There's some people that think this is a simulation. We're just in some massive simulation. I mean, either way, it doesn't matter. If you think about consciousness as the most important thing, then you start to realize that like that experience is all you have, right? It's everything else is possibly even fake.
It's interesting because, you know, it goes hand in hand with reading frequency signature and these gray overlays. And then when you know, it's very interesting to sense more of the different signatures, then you know it just revealed a lot. And I was wondering, you know, what when you were in Austin, what was the moment when, you know, you decided to do what you do now? And same for maybe traveling. What decided you, you know, what happened in your mind, or was it, what was the reason behind it?
Good question. I mean, so I'll start with the traveling. The traveling one was a friend of mine went on a trip, right? And went to Europe and did a Eurail pass. And I did that too, not with him, but like he gave me the idea. And then after I did that 3 month year, I was just obsessed. And then I went home, sold my car, sold everything I owned, and like went on this big travel. So that kind of idea happened from a little bit of a time pressure too. I think I was like 26 or so, and I was just like, I need to do this, you know? And it was just like, it just needed to happen. And I guess in this situation, even moving here, similar vibe, kind of this, you start to stare down the path of life and you're like, where do I want to be? And, you know, for me, I just like moving a lot. Like I even grew up moving a lot. We were in the same town, but we would move houses like every 2 years. My dad was a home builder and my mom was a realtor. So again, between the two of them, they would sell and buy and build houses all the time. And I think there's even this thing that if you sell your house and then buy a new one within like 2 years, it's like you save the taxes roll into the next one or whatever it is. We found ourselves moving a lot. So I just like that. There's something about this freshness, you know, like I don't think you can ever purge yourself of belongings until you move. Truthfully, you have so much clutter. And for me, I move all the time. So even if it's in the same city, so that, you know, but to get back to the question, this idea of just feeling super monotonous and like, not like I've always felt like everyone is special. And I've always known that about myself, that there's like, maybe we're not, you know, special in the sense that you're like the prince of the world, but like you have a special thing inside. And I've always felt this need to kind of find it. And I've always been this kind of searcher, and I'm still searching, but I think the traveling, the big travel came from, if I'm feeling like a searcher and I want to be a special person, time to go search, you know, time to really see what that is. And I'm so happy I did, because there's so many different ways to live, you know, and people are super happy and they have no shoes and they have a dollar to their name, or they're fancy richest people and like kind of all in between. And I think that like that really fascinated me. And then it slowly started to seep into like, oh, well, I'm a people person. I'm a storyteller. I've grown up playing music. What do I do that makes people the most happy, the most instantly, and we can talk about together forever and I'll never get bored of it? It started to reveal itself. It was music. So then after my big trip, I come home, I get a job, you know, slowly the magic starts to fade a little bit. And I find myself just barely playing on the couch sometimes. And I was really, I had to check in and be like, whoa, you know, I'm happy in like the sense that I'm secure with all the boxes that are checked, but I'm very, very empty. And I don't feel like this is enough. So then I started really falling in love with music. And I made this decision to quit real estate and become a music teacher. Not because I love teaching kids, but it is hard work. And I really want to be an artist and writer first and foremost, but it all worked out. Like my parents still love me. My friends still love me. I can still go on dates. Girls like it. It's all good. And I'm being who I am. So then after that started to become real and I got used to that, I started thinking, oh man, I'm in Austin, I'm playing in a band, it's all is good. I want to go further. Because I also think you should aim really high with whatever your thing is. I just think that that's a thing, you know? And I just was like, okay, I want to sustain myself with writing songs, and I want my songs to be catchier. They weren't catchy enough. And they weren't to the point like we've been talking about, like they are getting now. Like do what makes you happy. My old songs would have been more convoluted. You know, I had one that called Hey You that you like too. It's a good song. A little more tough to understand what that's really about. It's a fun song and it sounds good, but you know, maybe it's about love, maybe not, you know, maybe it's, but what the point is, no knocking on anything. I'm just trying to get even better. And so I think that that was really the catalyst to apply for this lamp school. And then getting into that gave me the validation or the confidence to say, okay, I actually deserve to move to LA. And I think that I do. It's what's weird. Like when I talk to you or I talk, like I can tell someone, hey, I think I deserve good things. But then when the computer closes and we're not, and then my secret side is saying, you actually don't, you're not good enough yet. You don't deserve it. Secretly deep down, it thinks that I can get there, but it just never feels like I'm there. And so in LA, I'm seeking more of that getting better and that validation through either positive feedback or irrefutable evidence from better songs, or I'm just trying to get more validation because I think that's important. We need validation. That's another thing that I meant to say about millennials and Gen Zers, like getting recognized or getting validated in our role is almost more important than getting a raise. Cause like, even if you, I mean, getting a raise is a bit of a form of that, but really what that does for us is says it's validation that you are good. Right. And it's kind of comes from this weird thing with Instagram, like you're comparing yourself to everyone and you don't really feel like you're as pretty or as good or as amazing as this random person that you've never met that's younger or on the other side of the world or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think this validation is very important. So I wanted a tribe, I wanted validation, and I wanted to just get better and get out of my comfort zone. So all those things connected to LA. And whatever your industry is, if you're into oil, right, move to Houston. You know, if you're into beer, move to Germany or Belgium, you know what I mean, whatever. And like that kind of thing is what I want to do more of now. Like I want to go travel again, but with this band I got into, like I want to be pulled to Brazil or wherever because I'm on tour or because I'm needed at a writing workshop or that, you know, that's kind of the elevation of it now. And the earlier you can get into that, the better, I think, because even though I loved everything we did, I do think that there was a lot of time spent just wandering, and in a good way. I needed that, but it would have been even cooler to be like laser focused and then like traveling for these reasons and then still changing the destination anyway and opening different doors, but at least going in with that would have been cool. But if you don't have that, like I didn't, and maybe you didn't either, it's a good place to start. So anyway, that's my long-winded answer for that.
I remember, I wasn't remembering that before, but I also was 26, and at the beginning I had kind of this threat about healing because I was really invested in therapies and, you know, looking for answer for myself, but it got really, really quickly sidetracked. And then it got like, because of, you know, the meetings and just, we talked about it. Like, I think, you know, you meet very specific people, just triggering very specific things within you that I wasn't even aware it was all there. It was kind of dormant. And then it kind of just spiraled, and my thread of healing kind of really got pushed to the side, and I was kind of caught into that tornado. So it was very interesting, but I really like traveling with a goal, right? Yeah. And that this goal is your threat. It kind of put like a purpose. It's like it's very different than having all possibilities open and then navigating like this. It's interesting. I've done it, you've done it, but it also has its limitation.
You're like, holy shit, this is not what I realized. But then at the same time, you realize it's all kind of similar as well. Even though it's shockingly different, people mm-hmm. still are in a city having their little coffee and, you know, wanting mm-hmm. to go out at night and wanting to, you know, do normal human stuff. So there's this element of escaping the matrix, but then also seeing the fabric of all of us that is the same, which is basic human stuff. And that was a big power for me because I started seeing how like it just doesn't matter if you're in suburbia with your Mercedes and all that. Like, it's basically the exact same life as somebody who lives above a gas station in India. Even though I haven't been to India, but like, I've been to a lot of places and not, most of them aren't nice, right? Escape the matrix, but then also understand that like, you're part of it too. And mm-hmm. then see like what part of it you really want to be a part of, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I it's true that no matter where you go, you kind of find some of the same programming in the mind of the people, right? Their focus, or it's going to be different, but you also realize that it's nothing like you've seen on television, for example, that most of the time people are kind. That's what I found, you know, locals who gave me fruits in most of these countries. Yeah. While they were poor sometimes, and they would still give me like a watermelon or something like that, which was yeah. very kind. And
did you go to Bali? I can't remember.
Yeah, I've been to Bali 3 times.
Love Bali. I got stuck in Ubud. I was with this girl and we were just traveling, and like we got stuck in this rainstorm in the rice field. And this super sweet old man who was a rice farmer in Ubud for his whole life took us to his little hut, right? And we were like trapped in this rain, and we were like, he didn't care, but he was like, come to, you know, and he had this little wife in this little hut with nothing in it, and they get this little coffee set out, and they make us this fancy little Balinese, and they're so happy to host us. None of us can speak to each other really. So it's all like, you know, and we tried a couple little, you know, like, I think, what is it like? Terima kasih and sama-sama and things like this, but it was minimal. But the point was, had nothing, was the happiest little married couple I've ever seen. I'm sure they had kids who had grown and left, but somehow it was just like one of the most magical moments. And it just shows you that like, you don't need, like most of the people in the world, I guess is an easier way to put it, don't have a lot, right? They may have, you know, a couple dollars in their pocket or some little hut, but their life is still just as full as yours, right? And they're still, you know, just because that rice farmer is not on social media doesn't mean his life isn't incredible, because it kind of was. I was like jealous almost by the end of it. I was like, damn, okay. And then when we left, it was just very, that moment has always stuck with me. And he was so thrilled. And he wasn't looking for money or, I mean, none of that. He was helping us, right?
Right.
So that's something I learned from traveling a lot, and especially to countries that are not first world, is that that's just so interesting. I don't know. Did you have something on that?
Yeah, like Asia, you know, the Asian culture, they will do everything not to be in your way, right? So
yeah,
I go to some Asian practitioner for massage because they really want to provide, they really are concerned that, you know, that as a client, you are happy. And I find that we talked about it briefly, but Brazil also, they're very heart-centered. And so you know, if you choose well, you know, I had kind of bad experience in Egypt or things like that, where it wasn't easy to navigate. And I was afraid for my safety, but that taught me also, okay, maybe I make other choices and I don't come back here where it feels really unsafe, you know?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just been, so that was kind of a catalyst, but I think at the bottom of all, like the reason I'm doing all this is just because I'm kind of this searcher. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I used to be like, man, when am I going to be done searching? You know, when am I going to be grown up, so to speak? Just never happens especially if you find the field that you love, you're going to constantly want to grow in that. And you're going to always want to see yourself as basically just a beginner, or even if you don't think of it like that, just always be open to growth, because there's an endless sea of that if you pick the right thing. In most industries, that's the case. You know, and if it's not, you might again be in a dead end industry. If you can't see any, you know, reason to learn more about what you do, that's a big red flag, you know. And if you think you know it all and, you know, don't want to listen, like don't want to grow, you're either wrong or if you're right, that's a big red flag of what you're doing is not the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just tricky. But it's been a lot of fun, and I love who I am and what I do, majority. So I gotta feel good about that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And we feel, it's a path. It's a journey. Some days are better than others too. Sometimes, yeah. That's why I also like to work a lot on, you know, releasing trauma or relaxation. It helps a lot. It helps a lot. Yeah. And you've been at some point in Austin and in the future, you also collaborated with a band. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. So I formed a band with my best friends. My cousin was the drummer. My roommate was the guitarist, all that stuff. And we were playing shows, having a great time. Will Wilcher Band, shout out. And it was a blast. But again, at the end of the day, I just felt I was the main songwriter, and I guess I wanted my song. I just didn't feel like my songs were good enough. Right. And so that's kind of why I'm here. You know, those guys are always in my life, and being in bands is a big part of my life. I told you as well, I got into a band here in LA, super fun, and we're going to be touring and all that. But like, I think being in a band is amazing. It's like you get this little family that wants to like help you bring your sound and your thing to life. And then you get to go and like make a big thing about it and have all your friends come and rock out. It's amazing. So I really love that. And I love being a leader. I love like leading the band. I love worrying about it. I like putting on shows. So yeah, but I'm out here now, and that's kind of on hold back home in Austin. But the goal is to get songs that I really love, release them, and then again, tour with those guys or with a band of some kind and share those songs, because there's something magical about that. It's still fun to do videos or have a open mic night or just myself on a guitar. I love that always, but the band has just this, it's more fun to watch too as a person. You get to look at all these different people making this music together. And to me, there's not that many bands anymore. It's kind of going away. Even though it's sort of coming back just barely in terms of like it's becoming popular again. But in my opinion, that is a cool art form. And I think it's just something that I've always had. So I definitely believe in that. It's kind of like having a tribe that's really connected, you know? And I think everyone should do that. Mm-hmm. How's that in your journey? You're like a one girl, one woman show.
Right? Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah,
but I love collaborations. That's what I do also with this, you know, conversing with beings I appreciate and I love. That's for me. And I know personally, right? Because it would not have been the same maybe 5 years ago when I would have been more tuned to the exterior or what was going on in these hive mind scenes than really looking in my own life. I've been doing a lot of work to really identify who are my allies and where there is real love, you know, and being more open to that is opening also many, many, many doors. And I love to work with other people. It's just that geographically, it's not always easy because some of us are spread out. So, but when we do meet in person, you know, it's, I really like that. And I also feel that we create a lot of things with our minds, you know, right, with linking our minds, with meeting in the psychically, you know, there are new things and spark definitely.
You're actually always, almost always having someone like me as your guest, which is a form of that collab, but like, yeah. It is fun.
Well, I've got my little tribe, and the editing work, it's difficult because someone else will edit it another way, and I'm not sure they would understand the way that I edit it. So
I hear you. It's like it's like, yeah, just have someone else sing your songs. I mean, sometimes that's cool, but
yeah,
tricky.
So yeah, it's not that easy to delegate, or you have to have really like a form of symbiosis where, you know, they really get you at a deep level that you can put that amount of trust without needing to even double check the final product, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
And at the same time, yeah, I feel that all these steps, you know, like maybe, for example, you know, it's like cleaning a house or things. There are always things that maybe you don't like ironing, or maybe, but you have to do this, and it's part of the work in general.
Yeah.
And to lead you where you are seeing the vision, and it, you know, and all these little steps and details, and some of them are a little bit maybe less pleasant, but overall, then you also infuse more of your own signature into the final product, right? It's like you know, posting your things on Instagram and not having like a social media manager, because right. It's gonna be a different signature. The choices are gonna be different. Maybe if you're not able anymore, then it means that there is too much distraction, right? Because maybe you have lost the golden thread or something like that. I feel that when it becomes too overwhelming, it's usually because there is some distraction that is, yeah, getting some of the time, and then I feel a need to recalibrate and focus, you know.
But yeah, I've been focusing on just like making work that's inspiring enough to have people come from that want to support you because they want to get involved with what you're doing. I think that's really, even this talk now, it's like, that's what I mean. Like that, just keep doing it. That's that Norwegian kind of philosophy. Like that's the people who run my program are Norwegian, like we talked about, and like do it to the point where it is so legit that people are coming to you saying, wow, I love what you're doing and I'm inspired by it. And I want to either give you some money to keep doing it, or I want to support it, or I want to be in your band or whatever it is. But that's how you draw the right people, rather than saying, I want people. No, like let those people come into your life by doing what you do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and usually that's people that you also will grow to learn about, you know, and get to know and build a relationship with, right? And, you know, then it becomes really special also.
And care about, you know?
And care about, yeah.
It's the truth. Like us.
Like us, that's for sure. And that's only confirming with the years, right?
Yep.
And it's really good to be hearing from you and where you are at. It's been full of surprise also, because it's been a while. I kind of had a hint that you moved to LA because of the time zone you were in. But I had a bit of question around that.
I like to keep it interesting, you know? I like to keep...
Yeah.
And if you're saying that it's interesting and surprised because you're a very interesting and surprising person, then I'm just going to take that, because I'm like, sweet. I had this old goal. It's stupid, but like, I want to be jealous of my own life. Like when I think about like my life, I want to be like, damn, you know, whether or not that's healthy, probably not. But like, that's in there somewhere. I just always want to be doing stuff that really is interesting and engaging.
I think you're doing a great job at being unpredictable. And what is at the horizon for you, maybe this year in 2022? Or yeah,
I just want to release stuff. I'm also going on tour with this band, the Sometimes Island. We'll be doing a little Pacific Northwest tour. Check us out on all the stuff. And then, yeah, but for me personally, releasing some of this stuff. I think some of those songs I sent you might be worthy, but a big thing for me, whether or not it's good or bad, is I have to think that my song is valid enough or worthy enough to be shared. And I have a super gnarly, you know, intense, for a better word, like bar for that. It's mm-hmm. very high. Yeah. Like I have hundreds of songs that I've written since we met that aren't good enough, right? And even these ones, I'm thinking, okay, they're finally starting to be good enough to release. And that's another thing to talk about, is like perfection paralysis. I suffer from that greatly. Now, I won't budge on it yet, but I am cognizant and I'm going to try to be less intense about it soon. Like, I still feel I need to hit this certain threshold, but then my point is, and I've kind of almost hit it now. My point is, after that, I want to start releasing more, because then you just learn and just let go of it being so, because like the audience will tell you stuff, you'll learn from those releases. And so that's kind of the era for 2022, is do more, release more, kind of share, what is it? Document, don't create, like kind of just show people more of what I'm doing, mm-hmm. To help the process, not just to get recognition, but to like mm-hmm. learn from that releasing, and to feel like a musician again. Like, you know, a real musician releases music, right? That's what we do. And it's been years for me since I've actually, you know, I feel good in my heart, and because I'm working hard and making songs every day. But, you know, to shorten the answer a little bit, just release some stuff and get out on tour and you know, play. So yeah. How about you? What's your goals for 2022?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I have some courses in mind that I'm working on releasing one right now.
Of course, so, that's cool.
Yeah, about you know, navigating all these mind things.
So I love that.
I would like to release three courses this year. It would be one more than last year, you know, and then, you know, work on my content, you know, that I like, you know, being, you know, growing vegetables, learning new things also with this 3D aspect, making the house a better place to live, right? All these things, you know, just
there's a lot of science that says like if your house is like really clean, that's like big part of your it shows who you are, almost like you are what your environment is, kind of.
I have overcome a part of this perfectionism paralysis, as you call it. If you let it in the way, it can really freeze you, and then you realize that you never realize anything. If you listen to that, you're never gonna finish any project. That's,
oh my God. And we have it in every degree. It's almost like you have perfection paralysis for a photo of yourself, this perfection paralysis, because we're used to seeing content just come out every day and it looks perfect because we don't see what people put into that, you know, sucking in the gut or the right angle or the right filter or something. You just see the photo and or the video and you're like, well, I need to be perfect too. Just kind of, but like we said, it's also at the same time becoming more cool or whatever to be less of that, right? Have a mm-hmm. look like you actually look, and just who cares?
Yeah. And just stepping more into that signature that we were talking about, because that signature, you know, even things that are perfect cannot like copy or imitate that signature, even if it's lacking some maybe professional aspects in some ways, it has maybe the warmth that we cannot find in more cold productions. Or so that's something that is sometimes hard to see about ourselves.
You mean our own signature?
The beauty in our own signature, right? Because we're going to be very quick at pointing where it. But
just self-love in general, Ariane. Like we can look amazing and then find that one pimple or that one, and then like we personally, that's all we see, right? You could look incredible that night or whatever, and then you go out and all you see is how big your nose is or whatever, and you're just like, I'm so hideous, right? Like if everything is tied up in just your look, or your back starts to deteriorate, and then you're really panicking because you're like your whole self-worth is just tied into this, you know, very meaningless thing. But we're our own worst enemy, I guess is an easier way to put it.
Sometimes you are. And earlier you were mentioning that wounding of non-recognition, and that's really something massive, and that's something that come back, you know, every time with a different disguise. that we have been designed to kind of look for a validation from the exterior to kind of relax in what we are or things like this, you know.
Be aware of that. Get it too, but just realize it's not as important as like your immediate community. And don't take that stuff for granted, right? And get lost in only external validation. And that's something I remind myself, because I'm doing art, right? I'm doing music, right? That's very like, look at me. And I have to remind myself a lot that like, that's cool and all, but that's only part of it, you know? And that's only the reward, honestly, for like really getting in touch with the real energy you're supposed to be in touch with. And if you do, then you'll get some, you know, but we just seek that validation for, I don't know why, we just do.
Yeah, it's because it's a core wound. And as you said, if we don't pay attention, it can lead our life. But I think, you know, you're doing a great job with that, because I always feel that it's balance in the way we relate, right? And if it's balanced, that it means that, you know, the ego is managed too. So it feels always great. And I like that a lot.
Thank you. And you as well. And I think I'm learning more about the ego in a case of it seems like it's always positive. That's how we consider ego. Like the ego is also you saying you suck or you saying you're not good enough. That's ego, right?
Yeah.
So it's really like I've been able to shed very easily the ego of I'm so amazing and everyone needs to kiss my ass. That ego has been gone for a long time. But the ego that's harder to shed for me, I guess, is like the opposite, the negative ego. And they're both, they should both be checked at the door. Neither one of them has any worth. It's all just a construct of your mind, because you're just a being. You're not an ego, or you're not a good or a bad. You're just a being, you know? Mm-hmm. Good and bad is even a subjective. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure, Will, to talk with you, and I hope to do it again, maybe.
Anytime.
Maybe when you release your next songs, it would be a great time to kind of.
Yeah, let me know. I mean, I'm thinking that whatever makes you happy could be this, you know, it starts with getting a single that you want to release, and then you can do another one, and then you pair them all into a EP or an album. But I'm thinking maybe Do What Makes You Happy might be the next single. So
yeah, I think I would need to listen to that song like over and over and over again.
It's got a good message, and I really appreciate all the time and your interest and love and everything that you always provide is super amazing, and what you're doing is amazing. And I'm excited to see where you're going, and maybe I'll host the interview as well next time and grill you. Because there's a lot, even though I did some of that today, there's just a lot that you're doing. And so really appreciate all the time, really.
Yeah, I appreciate to exchange with you and the depth that we are reaching. It's been really wonderful. And I encourage everyone to check your YouTube channel, Will Wishar. And also I will be putting you have a website, you have an Instagram.
Yep. Will Wiltrum Music, everything. And would love and TikTok too. I have TikTok.
Oh yes. Are you on TikTok?
Yeah. TikTok doesn't have as much of that so far. It probably will, but it's just an addicting platform. Be careful though. It is so addicting. It's all these little tiny videos of like anything you're interested in. But yeah, all the above.
I'm very curious about what it looks like. And I'm also very much looking forward to exchange with you and to keep on building these conversations privately, and also that
me
we
too.
Can share.
Now you've got this TikTok kind of disruptor thing happening. And I think you're going to start to see, and there'll probably be some other new thing, Boom Bang or some.
Yeah. There are lots of new
talk or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be overwhelming to choose which platform we want to be in, and create a new network is difficult. At the beginning, when you start on a new platform, it really depends how it's made. If it's made in, you know, wisely, then you can kind of connect quickly. But if not, it's really hard to start at the beginning. We definitely check it out, Will, and looking forward to talk with you again very soon.
Yes, very soon.